This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show or podcast, number 58 in the series for Franklin Matters. The winter school break is ending, the Olympics are underway, so let's just take about 10 minutes to keep current with what matters here in Franklin, Mass, as the week ends February 21st, 2010. In this session, I'll go back to cover the town council meeting on Wednesday, February 10th. In particular, their decision to reduce the annual curbside solid waste and recycling fee and implement minor increases to fees for Beaver Street and to handle specific large items. Who would have guessed that reducing the fee to implement a new automated trash and recycling system would generate so much interest? More than 20 citizens turned out on a snowy evening to participate in the town council meeting, raising a variety of questions. None of the questions ended up swaying the council. They ended up voting 5-4, 2 against, and 1 abstained, and that's a total of 8, yes, the ninth councilor was absent, to reduce the annual curbside fee from the current $244 a year to $233. There is still a proposed action to reduce the fee further to $220 by using some of the solid waste enterprise fund surplus. Per Jeff Nutting, this will come before the council as part of the regular annual budget discussions later this year. Now, Franklin Matters contains a number of links around this topic. The original slide presentation from the January 20th meeting can be found. The questions and answers from the meeting of February 10th. I summarized my analysis of the pros and cons. And then as I got questions from a couple of Franklin Matters readers, thank you, I updated the pros and cons posting to answer those questions and catching a math error of my own in the process. I also spent time finding information on all the other communities that was referenced in the original DPW presentation on January 20th and summarized those links on Franklin Matters in a posting as well. So, without redoing what I've already done, what I'd like to do for the remainder of this update is to walk through the changes that I see in my own household that we're going to have to make with this new system when it's scheduled to come into effect in July. Now, my household already recycles a good amount. What I think we'll need to change is some of the processes around how we currently do our daily activities. So let's begin with today's recycling process. First, we have a pile for the Daily Globe and the Weekly Gazette in the family room for ready reference. Sometimes Dolores will see an article that I'll miss, or I'll see one that she'll miss, and having the pile at hand makes it easy for one or the other to flip back through so we can keep current. And then when Saturday morning rolls around, I tie up the entire bundle with twine and bring it to the garage in preparation for the trash cycle pickup, which for us is normally scheduled on Wednesdays. Dolores also has a box near her desk in the home office for recycling individual sheets of paper. I add to it with items from the post office delivered mail, a lot of the junk mail, and I'm sure you get some as well, and the catalogs end up getting recycled. When the box fills, I take it to the garage and bundle the papers together with some twine and have that ready with the newspapers for the weekly recycle. Cooking, of course, tends to generate recyclables. Cereal boxes, 100-calorie snack packs, pasta boxes, and other cardboard boxes get flattened to go into one of our two recycling containers that we keep in the garage. We have the two containers positioned alongside the railing for the steps coming from the garage into the house. It's been an easy walk onto the landing, reach over the railing, and then drop the boxes into the container below. Yes, you do learn to be accurate. Otherwise, it's a walk around, down the stairs, and around to pick them up. The same process is used for the yogurt containers, ketchup bottles, milk jugs, and other plastic and canned goods. For the glass jars and bottles, sometimes, I'll admit, I'm daring. I will attempt to drop, knowing that there is something sufficient below to cushion the fall, but most times I do walk down the stairs to deposit them in the container to ensure that the glass does not break. The kitchen has a trash basket with a plastic bag liner for the remaining trash items that we generate. As it fills, the bag is removed, tied up, and deposited in one of two trash barrels, also positioned in the garage. And yes, many times it's a simple toss of the bag from the landing into the barrel with no additional harm or damage done to the contents or to the barrel. There is an extra barrel that we use for large family parties that currently holds a large black trash bag. It collects the plastic soda bottles, you know, the 2-liter kind, that can be refunded for cash. As these bags fill, and that's occurring much less frequently these days, as many of us have cut soda out from our diet, they get bound and stacked in the garage, waiting for either a bottle drive to contribute to, or if the stack gets too large before we'd find a drive, then one of us will spend some time feeding the bottles into the refund machines. As the girls were growing up, this was a good thing for them to do and, quote, earn some spending money. Alas, those days are just treasured memories now. And on Wednesday morning, the task of moving the two recycle bins, the bundled newspaper, and the trash barrel usually takes at least 2 trips, sometimes 3, down to the edge of the driveway. So how will this process change with the new automated system? Not a whole lot, fortunately. We'll still pile the papers, but I won't have to tie them. Once a week, to ensure a good fit into the toter, I'll put the newspapers in with the other recyclables. Likewise with the box of papers from the home office. We'll certainly save on twine and just add the paper to the toter. Assuming the toters themselves fit alongside the landing in the garage, which is where I'll likely position them. The lid's up and open. Inside the garage, there's not much of a risk for wayward animals as the items are already either cleaned or bagged. This will allow for continuation of the drop process over the side of the railing that we have for much of the items today. And yes, the glass items will still get a walk down to ensure good, non-breakable placement. Come Wednesday morning, will be 2 trips. One with each toter to the edge of the driveway to position them properly. Oh, I'll also likely have to move at least one car out of the garage to move the toters themselves. I won't know that for sure until I get the real items, but given the constraints of the garage as it is, this is highly likely. So, the Sherlock household will save on some twine purchases, since we'll no longer need to actually tie the papers together. And other than moving the car, we'll have 2 trips to the roadside instead of 3 to move the toters down on a weekly basis. Now, I can't imagine that there's other Franklin residents without a garage who will need to figure out if the toters will fit in the space that they currently use for their existing trash barrels, or will they require more room? I also received an email today raising a question on how animal-proof the toter lids are for those who would be storing them outside, and hence prone to visits from raccoons and other visitors. Maybe the DPW, or Recycling Committee, has a ready answer for that question, so I'll forward it along to them. I think there is still some work to be done to fine-tune, if you will, a welcome kit for this new process, with explanations of each step, how to do it. There are certainly several good examples from the survey that I did of the other communities, which I posted. We can provide frequently asked questions. The procedures for requesting a different size, either usually smaller in most cases, although in some cases there'll be a request for an additional toter for the larger families. And then the locations, or whether it's local merchants or however the additional trash stickers are going to be purchased, will need to be defined. They'll need to get stocked, and everybody will need to know where those are going to be obtained from. Fortunately, there's plenty of time before the system is implemented in July. So if you've got any suggestions on how to make this change better, what you'd like to know about it, send them directly to the Recycling Committee, to the DPW, or to me, and I'll filter them through. Change can be difficult, but with proper planning, change can be managed to provide a good experience. Now looking ahead, the school committee meets on Tuesday, the 23rd, The agenda has presentations scheduled on the ethics laws, and then the strategic plan and district improvement plan updates on the year thus far will also be presented. The school committee also continues its review and updating standard policies. The documents for three more policies are on the schedule. The details of each policy to be considered will be contained in links on Franklin Matters that will be posted with the school committee agenda. And that will be coming out on Monday. So as I close this session this week, let me remind you that if you like what I'm doing here, please tell your friends and neighbors. And if you don't like something, please tell me. If you don't say anything, I'm not going to be able to fix it. Thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. And the music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.